Jesus.
Welcome to Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. We invite you to stay tuned as Bishop Hill brings to you a relevant word for the real world. Come with me now to a service already in progress.
Of you, as a matter of fact, you ought to keep in mind at this point, they are only 40 years removed from slavery. The Israelites are just 40 years removed from slavery. That's barely one generation. They really still, even at this point, only know one way of doing things. But that way isn't enough. They've got one system that they know, and that is of a people who have been oppressed and depressed. The old way was a way of complaint and noncompliance. The old way was a way of lust and lack of loyalty. The old way was one of frivolity and faltering faith, and that is not going to be acceptable in the new land that God is giving to them. Now, I need you to grab this for yourself, because in reality, some of us have messed up the best thing that God could have ever given us because we tried to handle the new thing doing stuff the old way. You're trying to live your life in a new place like you've always done. If you are really going to live at the next level, really possess the land, you got to fix it in your mind that there are some things about you that have got to change. I know I'm talking right now. Moses is dead. He was good. He was a faithful leader. He had his mistakes along the way, but for over 40 years, he led the children of Israel, having had the moment of the bushes burning before him, God's voice speaking to him, and in reverent and obedient worship, he did what God told him to do for better than 40 years, and yet now, the Lord seems to be saying through his emphatic expression that Moses is dead, that the old system is gone. The old way of doing things, it's gone. It was good while it lasted, but that season is over. As a matter of fact, everything you do in this new season is going to have to be elevated. I'll run it by you one more time because you act like you don't want to hear it. You want God to bless you, but God can't bless you and you keep the blessing if you don't know that everything you do is going to be elevated in this next season. Watch this. The reason why you got to know that everything you do is going to be elevated, because the devil is going to get elevated. You're going to have to deal with bigger demons. You're going to have to deal with more attack. You're going to have to deal with bigger obstacles. And if you are still working at the level that you worked in the old miracle, you will be crushed. I know. Talk, Terry Jr. I will. It's like getting a new job, and before you even get to work, you gonna get a new outfit. I mean, especially like if it's a new job in the same company. Sometimes it's just a lateral move. You ain't making no more money, but you're in something new. And you don't even want to wear the old clothes. The people in the new department hadn't seen what you already got. But there's a mentality that's associated with going into something new. And the reality is that for a lot of us, we have not adapted the right mentality for what new thing we either have got or what is coming to our lives. Some of us got a house, but you still got an apartment mentality, wondering why the grass ain't cut. Baby, we don't have a landlord to call to fix the furnace. Oh, wait, we ain't got no furnace either. To fix the hot water heater, you know what I'm talking about. We ain't got nobody who we can just leave a little help ticket or something, and they send the maintenance man to come. No, we got to pay for that. That ain't included in the rent. Matter of fact, it ain't rent. It's a mortgage now. Y'all ain't talking to me. If you're going to live in the new season, you got to do things differently. Can I talk to the church for a moment? Because this is wholeheartedly about us moving. You cannot go into a new place doing the same old stuff. Let me go and help you right now. Prepare for pastor to get ugly. See, now he don't want you to touch nothing now. In the old church, we could do what we want. Spit that gum out. We don't allow gum in here. All y'all coming in here with thermoses and coffee cups and Yetis and all. Nope. What you ain't gonna do is mess up the new with your old ways. Y'all ain't, you ain't talking to me. And it's bigger than messing up the carpet. You got to lead different, because the way you lead right now ain't going to work down. Y'all ain't talking to me. The way you sing right now, it ain't going to work down. The way you wait till the last minute to focus on your ministry, that ain't going to work down there. You got to pray different, because the way you pray down here ain't going to be enough for the devils down there. You got to serve different. As a matter of fact, you just got to be different. Show up late down there. Watch, you ain't got no seat. Watch it. Watch it. Watch it. Watch it. Mm-hmm. Don't do what you're supposed to do down there and watch you lose your little position. You ain't talk. Is it pastor so up? He surely is. Because you can't live in your promise working like it's your past. And you thought it was the boyfriend. No, boo, it was you. God gave you a whole new man and you treated him like every ex you had ever had. All of the men should have just shouted right up. Thank you, Bishop. Thank you. Try to tell her I ain't like that dude. Don't be treating me like you treated him. And in the back of your mind, you're thinking, I see why that dude left. You ain't got to help me. I know I'm talking right. I do. I know I'm talking right. Here's why you got to elevate. Tell your neighbor you got to elevate. Here's the reason you got to elevate. Now notice, if you will, the intention and the effort of the Israelites gets critical, because God says to them in verse 3, wherever you set your foot, it will be on land I have given you. But when you now continue to reach the entirety of Joshua's narrative, you find that they have to fight to take hold of the land that God has given. Let me run that by you one more time. God says it's yours because I gave it to you. But then you're going to find out they got to fight in order to claim it. I'll try it one more time. It's yours. I gave it to you. But you can't possess it if you don't fight for it. And they do have to fight. As a matter of fact, you get some time this week, you read Joshua in chapter 3, you find out they got to fight their past by crossing the Jordan. In chapter 4, they got to fight to remember the Jordan they just crossed. In chapter 5, they fight to reinstitute God's covenant. In chapter 6, they fight Jericho with an unusual strategy. In chapter 7, they lose the fight to Ai because they didn't win the fight of their flesh with Achan. In chapter 8, they fight Ai again, and this time they win because you can't move forward until you beat what first beat you. In chapter 9, they fight the deception of fake friends. In chapter 10, they fight through Joshua's prayer that causes the sun and the moon to stand still. In chapter 11, they beat the kings on the east side or at east. And by the time you reach chapter 12, they are still only halfway there. God gives it to them as a promise, but they have to fight to claim and possess it. Now, this is really good to me, because it says to me that this is not the kind of blessing you're going to maintain being passive. I'll try it one more time. You've got to show in this next season that you actually want everything God's putting in front of you. Oh, I wish I could talk to at least two other people who understood that God may give it to you, but if you don't do what you got to do, not only will you not ever possess it, but you will fail only with the sight of it. Let me take you back to Deuteronomy chapter 33, when God, because of Moses' disobedience, standing at the opportunity, having the opportunity to actually glorify the people, God before the people, he strikes the rock when he was supposed to have spoken to the rock. And so now, by the time you fast forward to Deuteronomy 33, God takes him up to the top of the mountain and says, see, this is what I'm going to give to the people, but you can't possess it. And there is where a lot of us find ourselves. We can see it, but we can't have it, because we've not yet proven that we actually really want it. Y'all ain't talking to me. You ain't talking to me. The problem with a lot of us is we don't want to do what we got to do in order to have what we say we want to have. We didn't mind praying for it, but we don't want to put no effort into it. Can I talk to you for a minute? I mean, you say you want certain things, but you don't do the work for what you want. And since I'm already on relationships this morning, let me just stay there a little while. You wanted her. I mean, that's what you said. That's what you told her when you was taking her clothes off. You wanted her. Feel like working now. That's what you said. You said, I want you, but you don't want to do the work. And shame on every woman who doesn't require it. Why are you tripping over your light bill and you giving it up? This ain't a singles conference, but I might as well stay here. And since I'm here, I'm going to say everything I feel like saying. I mean, come on, you can't even get gas for your automobile. But he can call and come over at 3 o'clock in the morning. I wish to God you would. Why am I tripping? And you bumping in the middle of the night. Y'all better be glad the children are in the room and I can't say it like I want to say it. Because the way I feel like saying it ain't sanctified. And I know, I can tell you're mad. Look, if you just look at the room, just look at the room. They mad. Because they just asked that joker for a few dollars. And he told her, I ain't got it. I mean, if I had it, I'd get to you. But I ain't got it. You going to be free tonight? No! You don't even need the Holy Ghost for that. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, you got to give a little to get. Y'all ain't talking to me. You don't even need to come up to. Don't even come to the altar. Because that kind of foolishness don't require prayer. Come on here. Hashtag common sense. It just. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, you said you wanted that job, but now, after the first week is over or the probationary period has passed, you can't find your way to work on time. And God forbid they ask you to stay a few minutes late after you didn't get there until 30 minutes past the hour. And then want to blame it on back-to-back traffic. I'm sorry, that was just... Private joke. I'll pay for that tomorrow morning at about 7:15. I already know. You got to show that you actually want what God is putting in front of you. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying to you? You got to show that you actually want it. And you can't just want it when you first get it. You got to actually show you want it. Every day, it's a part of your life. Remember how you treated the car when you first got it? You was washing it every other weekend. You remember that? Uh-huh. You remember how you wouldn't let other folk eat in your little car? Huh? You remember that? Uh-huh. Go look up under the driver's seat now. McDonald's French fries still there. And you know the way they make them French fries, they don't die. Those French fries are like baby's kids. You find them up under the seat, they be looking back at you. You got to show that you want it. Every step of the way, let me prove it to you. The word possess used in that particular verse in the New Living Testament, a New Living Translation, is the word inheritance in the King James Version. It stems from the Hebrew word nakal, which means to get or take as a possession or inheritance. It carries the tone of subduing a thing as in a struggle. Now, if you're like me, then the word inheritance actually creates more problems than it actually solves. As a matter of fact, whatever my inheritance is, whatever is bequeathed to me, why is it that I must take it? If it's mine and it was given to me, why is there a struggle? And in reality, it's a really simple principle, because honestly, it is yours if you want it. Let me tell you what happened the other week. I think this was last Sunday. I brought some jewelry. I cleaned out my jewelry box, and I had some little bracelets and some little, you know, little things I don't picked up from different places along the way to go with one outfit, got rid of the outfit, still got the jewelry. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Little beads and stuff, a little whatnot. And so I brought a bag of that, some rings, you know, little cosmetic stuff, little vanity stuff. And I brought it to the office, and I called some of the younger kids in, right? And I stood them around the table, you know, 9, 10, 11-year-old guys, you know, and I laid everything out. And as I'm laying it out on the table, their eyes got big. And they were like, ooh. You know, put little sterling silver bracelet and little, you know, different things on there. Ooh, I want that. You should have saw Jalon, you know. Jalon and Amara, they're already positioning themselves, trying to get closer to the table. Move. Trying to get themselves in position to grab, like they were just waiting on the word go. You know what I'm saying? Brother Reed, you saw them. They were standing there, and they were ready. And I said, now wait, hold on. Look first. You can have it if you want it. It's absolutely free. It didn't cost them a dime. Sister Melinda, it's all just spread out all over the table. And if you could have seen the way they were reaching for stuff. Now, you had necklaces and bracelets that matched. And you had one person, when I told them, okay, well, go ahead, get what you want. The way they nearly tore the table down to get the items. And then only to find that one person had one part of the set and the other person had the other part of the set, and they're looking at each other. And then Jalon said, you need to give me that. Amara goes, I got it first. I started playing that thing back in my mind. They all they knew was it was available. Didn't have to work for it. Didn't have to go shop for it. It was right there in front of them. But there was a catch to it. There were other people who wanted it too. Y'all ain't talking to me. And so it really came down to who wanted it the most. Because the person who wanted it the most didn't have any problem pushing somebody out the way. Because sometimes, even though it's given to you, you got to be willing to fight for it. Would you give your neighbor a high five and tell him it's yours if you want it? Watch what happens. Watch what happens in the text. Look at verse 5. Verse 5, he tells them, after he tells them it's yours if you want it, he tells them that you now have to remember the promise. Watch the text. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Listen, it is amazing to me that God does not change the promise, because he's got a different group, a different leader, and a different season that they're about to enter into. God does not change the promise. Tell your neighbor, it's the same promise. Watch this now, because God shows us something, that if God told you one time, just because it's not yet fulfilled does not mean it's not intended. Amen. Y'all ain't hearing me yet. Here's the reality, Rita. God hadn't changed his mind. If he said it to you, it doesn't matter how long it takes for it to happen. It doesn't matter what shifts you make in your life. If it's not yet fulfilled, show them on the slide, it's not. It doesn't mean it's not intended. What are you saying to me, Pastor? I'm telling you, God still wants me to have everything he promised me. He still wants to perform in my life everything he's already promised me. As a matter of fact, you got to remember what you are about to encounter will require you knowing what God has already told you. Here's the promise. Watch it now. Watch it. I gave it to you. Nobody can stop you. I'll always be with you. Can I run that by you one more time? Here's the promise that he gives them in verses 5 and verse 6. I gave it to you. Nobody can stop you. I'll always be with you. I'm going to run it by you one more time. Maybe you should say it with me. I gave it to you. Nobody can stop you. I'll always be with you. That's the promise that God gave to Moses. It's the promise that he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. And it's the promise that he reiterates for Joshua, that even though you're moving into a new place, even though you're about to possess a new land, my promise is the same promise, because it's not yet completely done, which means that I have got to stay true to what I told you until everything I told you is true. He says, I gave it to you. Nobody can stop you. I'll always be with you. Can I just ask you a quick question? If that is the promise that hovers over your head, why are you tripping? If you know, Maria, that God gave it to you, if you know that nobody can stop you, if you know that God will always be with you, why are you crying like you don't know what you're going to do? Can I ask you a question? I mean, really, why is it that you're still stuck in the same place that you were in when God first made you the promise, and you act as if God has forgotten about you? When the Lord told you what he was going to do for you, that should have been enough to fuel you until the day that you saw it in your face. You want me to tell you why? Because God's not like us. He doesn't just say stuff just to be saying it to make us feel good in the moment. If God said it, Samantha, it's because that's what he desires to do in your life. And if he says it, as long as you believe it, it's going to be settled in your life. You ain't hearing me, but Courtney, the reality is that there are too many of us that have forgotten the promise. And so the moment we came up against the problem, the promise that should have carried us over the problem, we forgot about it. The promise, rather, yes, that should have carried us over the problem, we forgot about it. And so whenever something bad goes wrong, we just turn around to Lisa. We act like we've lost our best friend. We act like we don't know what we are going to do. And it's because we've forgotten the promise. But if you remember the promise, it'll change how you act. If you remember the promise, it'll change how you walk. If you remember the promise, it'll change the way you govern your life. As a matter of fact, you can know a person has forgotten that God is with them by the way they treat other people. It's funny when you watch how people treat one another when they don't think they need one another. You've never seen that, I know, especially not in the church. But Liz, just think about it, you know, if you will, the examples from your job. When a person doesn't feel like they need you, they sometimes kind of handle you in a kind of way, you know. And sometimes they only handle you like that when other folk aren't looking. It is on, right? Okay. They treat you bad. Or if certain people, know how they really are, but you hadn't fully grasped it. And so you can, it seems like they're being nice. You find out later, all of the nice stuff they did had a nasty tinge to it. So they like nice and nasty at the same time. It's almost as if they feel that until you really catch hold to who they are as an individual, they'll continue to get by on you as long as they can. Am I talking to anybody? Yeah. This not in the church, I know, because we wouldn't dare act like that in the church. You ain't supposed to do that in the church. It's, you know what, I'll throw this in here also parenthetically. It's funny to me, the stuff that people don't think gets back to the pastor. You know, okay, this ain't in the notes, but let me just go and throw it out there at you. You know, Brother Cannon, it's funny because, you know, I hear certain things about people. And then you know, and I kind of trust the report because the person that told me had nothing of interest for them in it. You know what I'm saying? So they come and they tell me, no, she said so-and-so. And I'm thinking, I wouldn't believe that she would say that. And then when I hear the other side of the story from the person that they said what they said, and at first I didn't believe it, but now I can kind of see it. When they come back and they tell me, Sister Stephanie, I'll be like, oh, that's the way it happened. Because I know I already got this up. Yeah, it's just me, huh? You know how you act when you already know something and people still trying to pull the wool over your eyes? Y'all like, I think I'm helping somebody right now. You know the parents, let me just talk to the parents. You know how you are when the school has already called you? And then your child come home talking about, you know, I don't know why happened. I don't know why they. Oh, you don't? Like that time my dad asked me, where'd you get this wallet? This little G.I. Joe wallet I had found at school. You know what I'm saying? And my daddy caught me, you know, and he come up to me and say, where you get, where your money at? Huh? Where your money at? In my wallet. Let me see the wallet. I pull out the wallet. He knows he didn't buy it, and he knows I don't have any other money or any other way to get it, so he knows that I shouldn't have it. So he asked me about the wallet. I said, where'd you get it? At school? Because, you know, that was a quick answer, you know. That's at least 8 hours of the day that you don't know everything I'm doing. And he said, when? And I, with my quick mind, Saturday. Boy, that wit just went, hadn't kicked in yet. Azuri's looking at me like, "What? That I don't get it. See, there's no school on Saturdays." Which meant that was a whole lie. Full out, you understand? Told boldly, yet with fear. It's just something, and I don't lost where I was going with that, but in reality, some of us, we do things, and we act as if the other person doesn't know, and we do God the exact same way. That's where I was going right there. We do God the exact same way. We forget God is always with us. And see, now it's the promise that we appreciate, that he'll never leave me. But him always being there means he knows how much we actually believe him. He knows how much we're actually working for what he's put in front of us. He knows exactly what our intentions are because he's always with us, which means you cannot pull the wool over his eyes. He knows you ain't gonna keep this thing that he gave you because you ain't doing what you're supposed to do. Because even when you're acting like you really want it, trying to prove to people you really deserve it, God knows that the moment no one's looking, you stop what you're doing. Because it's not really in your heart. Should I move on? Mm-hmm. When you don't say nothing, that's just like saying, hurry up, Reverend. Watch the remainder of this text. He tells them in verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. He tells them, not only must you remember the promise, but he says, remember the instructions. You got to remember that God actually has a way for you to handle the new thing that's coming into your life. And I'll tell it to you quickly as my time leaves me. He says to them, hear the instructions, study and meditate, walk straight, don't be scared. Show it to them on the screen because I want them to read along and say it with me. He says, study and meditate. One more time for the right side of the room. This is interesting because if this is all I got to do in order to fully possess the promise, what's wrong with me if I don't have it? Which one of these things am I not doing that's keeping me from obtaining, from having, from possessing, from occupying everything that God has put in front of me? What are the instructions? Is the reason you're still stuck in the same mess because you don't read God's word? You have no thought to think about, rather, you don't spend any time thinking about what God has actually said. Is the reason that you are stuck in the same situation because you don't walk straight, like you deviate every chance you get? You're just as distracted in your daily walk as a child. You in a candy store. I mean, you walking down the road, you had good devotion that morning because it was the day after Sunday and you felt like you were really close to God. So you gave him 6 minutes before you started your day. That wasn't shade. I'm thankful for the 6 minutes. God can speak in a minute and a half if you let him. But you gave that time to God, and then you got up feeling like a spiritual giant, and before you could get out the door, you opened up Instagram. And now you can't walk straight because you're distracted. Now every scripture you read in those 6 minutes, the prayer you prayed in those 6 minutes, you just lost it. You ain't saying amen, obviously, because I'm talking about your cousin. It's not you, I know, but you feel bad for your cousin. Tell your neighbor, it's my cousin. But then he's maybe the reason is because you're just scared. Can we just talk about the realness, the reality rather, of our fears? The fact that some of us can't have what God has given to us because we are too afraid to actually possess it.
You've just received Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. You may order a copy of this message in its entirety for a gift of any amount by calling the church office at 904-699-7962. You may also write to us at P.O. Box 350414, Jacksonville, Florida, 32235. When you call or write, please reference the date the broadcast aired. We invite you to share and worship with us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Our church is located at 8050 Lone Star Road. For directions and more information about the church, visit our website at thecitadelchurch.com. Again, that's thecitadelchurch.com. Be sure to tune in next week at the same time for Hope with Bishop Terry Hill.